And we find as we look in the scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation, these words come up again and again. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not, Abraham. Fear not, says the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the first and the last. And why is it that the Lord has given us fear not from first to last in the scriptures? Why is it except because we are so prone to be afraid? We tend to fear. God knows that we are often fearful. Now we have here in this text in Isaiah these words, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now these are comforting words indeed for those who are tempted to fear. But to whom are they addressed? Well, we see in verses 8 to 9 the character of those to whom they are addressed. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham my friend, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Thou, Israel, my servant. Now, of course, they were addressed in this day and age when they were given to the people of God, the nation of Israel, whom he had chosen out of all the nations of the world. But the nation of Israel in this latter day hath expanded. It has grown. We do not teach a replacement theology. There are those who accuse, those who say that the church is Israel, of teaching a replacement theology. We don't. It is an expansion theology. It is the theology of the Apostle Paul in the Epistle to the Romans, when he speaks in Romans 11, and he talks of the olive tree of Israel. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Well, there is the state of Gentile Christians. There is the olive tree, and that is Israel. And there are the unbelieving Jews, and they are broken off. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, who would not believe. They are broken off. They are separated from the tree. The vast multitude of the Jewish nation, alas, are broken off and separated. Praise God, there are those who are not separated. There are those in all generations whom God hath left in the tree. But there are the Gentile Christians, and they are grafted in. Just last Lord's Day, I was at a little chapel down in Surrey, and the senior deacon there works at a garden centre, and part of his job is grafting trees. And what he does is he takes a shoot from one tree, and takes it to another tree, and cuts a hole in the other tree, and splices a root in, and then that shoot that comes from another tree becomes part of the tree, the original tree. Well, here is the picture you see. Here is the Israel. Here is Israel, the olive tree of God, and here are the Gentiles, a wild olive tree, not the people of God. And they are taken and joined into that tree, and they are one people, one tree, not two peoples, but one people. The Israel of God. So here we have Israel, the people of God. Israel, God's whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Well, what does the apostle say when he writes to the Galatians? Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And so you see, every believing one, well, we read in John 3:16 that passage that's so familiar to us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him might not perish but have everlasting life. Well, here's the whosoever believeth. Israel, the seed of Abraham by faith. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth. Well, this island, to the ancient Jews, this was the ends of the earth. But we are not just from this island. We are from the very ends of the earth. From all over this world, God hath his people and hath gathered them in. God, the Israel of God, has expanded. He's not replaced. It can still be Israel of God, but it has expanded to embrace the Gentiles also. Those who live by faith in Christ. Chosen, I have chosen thee. I have chosen thee in Christ before the foundation of the world, he says in Ephesians. Chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Oh, he might have cast us away. In our sin and our unrighteousness, our rebellion against him, he might have cast us away. But he says, I have chosen thee. Here's grace. He's chosen sinners. Oh, we would understand if he set his love upon the holy angels. The angels who have never sinned, who love him perfectly, who are forever praising him and doing his service as swiftly as they can. We would understand if he loved the angels, and he loves the angels. But oh, that he has set his special love upon sinful men, sinful women who have disobeyed his commandments, who have erred and strayed from his ways. We all, like sheep, have gone astray and turned every one to his own way. Oh, he says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. So it is addressed to chosen sinners. Who was Jacob? What was Jacob? He was a deceiver. He was a man who had robbed his brother. And yet he chose Jacob. The amazing thing in Scripture is not Esau I have hated. It is Jacob I have loved. Oh, we can understand that God would find that man, Esau, that man disobedient to his parents, that man who married multiple wives, who despised the birthright. We could understand that God would hate Esau. But Jacob, the thief, the supplanter, the liar, Jacob have I loved, there's grace. There is love for a sinner. So it's addressed to sinners whom God has called. And why do Christians fear? Well, in the world ye shall have tribulation, says Christ. In the world ye shall have tribulation. And we see Christians are sent forth as sheep among wolves. Well, there is a very striking picture of our Lord. Here is the sheep, and they are, if you have any experience with sheep, you will know they're foolish creatures. They're forever getting lost, wandering off. For many years we had a family holiday in the Highlands of Scotland. And as you drive up there, you pass through these roads with sheep upon them. And you would see maybe a fence, and a sheep had got out of the fence somehow, but didn't remember how to get back in, and struggling to get in. Or the sheep would lie down on the road where the cars drive. They're foolish creatures, and they're harmless creatures. But the wolves, oh, they are very cunning creatures. They lie in wait for the unwary sheep as the sheep wanders along, innocent, not knowing. And the wolf will spring out and seize the sheep and carry it away. Sheep in the midst of wolves. Do not sheep in the midst of wolves have some reason to be afraid? To be afraid of the savage wolves who are waiting all around? Our enemy, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Have we not some reason then for fear? And we have the many difficulties of providence that we come into. We all have our different providences that we've come into. There are those who have lost employment. There are those who do not know where to turn. Difficulties in family, all those that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Everyone who desires to live a godly life in Christ Jesus shall certainly suffer some form of persecution. There are different forms of persecution. There is the persecution of the state, and there is the persecution in the family and in the workplace. And sometimes I am of the agreement with the Scottish preacher who said, well, you know, if it were to happen that an Islamic fleet were to sail up, well, we might transfer it to London. If an Islamic fleet were to sail up the Thames, and we were to see the flag of Islam planted upon the Houses of Parliament, and the block set up on Tower Green for the execution of Christians who would not convert to Islam, there are many who would gladly go to that block confessing Christ, who are terrified into silence by the sneers and the laughter of those who work with them. There are two forms of persecution. And yet, often it is the sneers of the workmates that are the hardest to bear. I came not to bring peace on earth, our Lord said, but a sword. A sword in the family. Division between the father and his son, and the mother and the daughter. If ye were of the world would love his own. That's what our Lord said. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Therefore the world hateth you. The world hated the Lord Jesus Christ. How can it not hate those who go about bearing the image of the Lord Jesus Christ? So there is persecution in the world. There are trials and difficulties. It is a vile and despicable heresy that says that Christians will always be healthy and wealthy. It is calculated to destroy, if it were possible, true believers. Thank God it's not possible for them to be destroyed. But these health and wealth teachers, they are setting out. They're Satan's servants, they're not God's. They're setting out to make those whom God has called into a life that involves suffering and tribulation, to take them and to make them despair. We, oh, my soul, enter not into their secret. Oh, let us not enter into that secret. But remember this, that he hath said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. Well, we see that in the wider world, don't we? We have the rise of radical Islam, where that picture of the Islamic flag flying over Parliament is not a wild dream as it was 50 years ago. We see persecution rising, even in this land. We see persecution overseas. And we see, what is worse, apostasy, a falling away in the church. There are too many churches that bear the name of evangelical, where the atonement is not preached. There are some where it's denied, where Christ is not glorified. And I say this not to glory over the fact that I don't. I say this in deep concern of heart. Here is a judgment, a fearful judgment upon the church. And it terrifies me at times to see churches that stood for the faith now standing for nothing at all. So there is a tendency to fear there. And there is a tendency because of our sin. We carry around sin. There is the struggle, the conflict with sin, the putting to death of sin, the mortification of sin, moment by moment, a struggle with sin, and sometimes it seems almost to overwhelm us. The apostles recorded this in the 7th of Romans. He talks there about a death struggle, the greatest battle in existence today, we might say. Here is the conflict, the law. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. And oh, it comes up, comes to this. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? How is the conflict? Is this the cry of a man who is living in sin? No, it's the cry of a man who is holy almost as God is holy. And he feels the great gulf that is that almost as holy as God is holy. But oh, that almost, that great gulf fixed, so he could call himself the chief of sinners. And as we grow in grace, then we feel that plague all the more. The sinfulness of sin, as one of the Puritans put it. The gravity, the greatness of sin. That sin should appear, as the Apostle says, exceeding sinful. And there is the fear that comes sometimes that it will overwhelm. That I will prove a castaway at last. But fear not. Fear thou not, says our God, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. We should not be afraid with that fear that hath torments, for perfect love casteth out fear. Our perfect love, no, the perfect love of God, the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It is a knowledge of the love of God that casts out fear. Fear not, for I am with thee. Here's a declaration of God's love. Fear not, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Fear not. Fear not. Fear that, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. Note, it is not if, it is when. Thou shalt pass through the waters. Thou shalt pass through the waters of sorrow, the waters of suffering, and that last great river of death. They shall not overflow thee. Thou shalt not be overwhelmed and carried away. When thou walkest through the fire of suffering and of persecution, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Oh, thou shalt walk through the fire, but thou shalt not be burned up. Thou shalt not be consumed. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall not lie, my grace all-sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, says God. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. Fear thou not, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, but thou shalt be like the young Hebrew men in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. They were three cast in, but when the king looked, what did he see? He saw four men walking in the furnace, and the appearance of one was like unto the Son of God. I am with thee. It is not to do with us, you see. If we were told, fear not, but trust to thy own strength, well, we'd fear. We would fail in a moment if we trusted to self. If we were told, fear not, because thine enemy is not very great, then we would have something to glory in, perhaps. But no, we do not. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against, well, our great enemy, as I said, as the Apostle says, he's like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is a mighty angel, is Satan. He is powerful. We face a mighty enemy. But no, our confidence is in this. It is in God. It is in Him who is almighty. What is all the power of a created being, even the most powerful created being, against the Creator? It's nothing. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Well, here is the covenant, you see. What is the covenant? The sum and substance of the covenant between God and His people is this. He says, I will be thy God, and thou shalt be my people. That's the sum and substance of the covenant. He is our God, and we are His people. I am thy God. This God, this mighty God who rules all creation with His hand, is my God. This sovereign King of glory has condescended to be my Father and my friend. This God in whose hands are all the kingdoms of the earth. This mighty God is ours, our Father and our love. He shall send down His heavenly powers to carry us above. This is our God. He reigns, say unto Zion. He says, thy God reigneth. Not the gods of the heathens, not the idols, they don't reign. Allah doesn't reign. But say unto Zion, thy God reigns. And all the gods of the nations, well, we read what the Lord has to say to them. Behold, ye are of nothing, and your work of naught, an abomination is he that chooseth you. He says, you're nothing at all. All the gods of the nations are absolutely nothing. But God, our God, reigns. Our God is in the heavens, and He hath done whatever He pleases. It's all in His hand. He reigns. He worketh all things according to the counsel of His own will. All things. Oh, there's comfort. Fear not, because thy God reigns. I am thy God, He says. I, the great Creator, the judge of all the earth, I am thy God. But more, I am thy God. I, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, am thy God, he says. The one who hath given up mine only begotten Son, he says, to suffering and to death for you, I reign. That is what God the Father says. He has given up his Son, the God of love. God is love. Herein is love, not that we love God, we didn't, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Well, hath He not shown forth His love in this? He that spared not His only Son, but delivered Him up to death for us, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? Fear not. Fear not. Look at Christ. Would He have the sinner die? Would Jesus have the sinner die? Why hangs He then on yonder tree? Why is He there? Why did He suffer and die? To save sinners. And will He not see of the travail of His soul and be satisfied? Fear not. I am thy God. This is the one who is my God. Is He thy God? Is He your God? The one who rules on high, the one who hath declared His love by sending His only begotten Son to die in the place of sinners. You see, here is a declaration of God's favour. That He has given up His Son. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, says Christ. And him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. and none shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. Well, there is omnipotent power. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. None shall pluck thee. Thou canst not pluck thyself from God's hand. You cannot take yourself out of God's hand. He's holding you. Praise God, you can't. If I could, I would have taken myself out by my wickedness years ago. But no, he holds. His strength, his power, not mine. It is him. It is God from beginning to end. I am with thee. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, says Christ. He's always with us. By his Spirit in the hearts of his people, he is with us. God is with us, therefore why should we be afraid? And these promises. We have these promises here. I will strengthen thee. Well, that is very, very needful to helpless, strengthless sinners. To those who know that we have no strength, who are without strength, who cannot stand one moment on our own strength. A Christian knows that he is without strength, and if like Peter he says, Lord, speaking his own strength, I will never deny thee, then shortly afterwards, like Peter, he must come and confess that he has denied the Lord, and must come and repent, and he will lament his weakness. But, says God, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. He gives us strength daily, according to the measure that we need it. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Well, here's a very broad promise. I will help thee. What trial, what difficulty does this not deal with? There is none it doesn't deal with. Lord, help me. It's a very right petition to put up in prayer. Help, Lord. This broad promise that we may come boldly to the throne of grace for grace to help in time of need. Yea, I will help thee. If we're like Peter sinking, then we may cry out, Lord, help me. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities in prayer, teaches us what to pray for, in making intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Well, here is a very striking expression. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is called in the 80th Psalm the man of God's right hand. And elsewhere he is called the Lord our righteousness. Here is the name by which he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Well, here is the one who upholds us. The man Christ Jesus is the right hand of God's righteousness. And he is upholding. He is our advocate with the Father. If we were to go and see him in glory, we would see him seated on his throne, our advocate above. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is a propitiation for our sins. The one who has suffered on Calvary, who has paid the full price, who has atoned for sin, he is seated there. He is our advocate, and he is upholding us with his own almighty strength, with the Father. He is our mediator. And all the promises of God, all these promises and 10,000 besides are yea and amen in him. Here is Christ upholding us in our weakness by his mighty power. Well then, here we have the word of God fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. This is not given to those who are in ease and comfort in the world. It's given to those who are in trials and in tribulations. But why should we complain of want or distress, temptation or pain? He told us no less. The heirs of salvation, we know from his word, through much tribulation must follow their Lord. Now, oh, here is a glorious word to Christians. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, says the Lord Jesus Christ. I have overcome the world. He has conquered. He has overcome. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. All things. Oh, that all things. We don't see yet how they work together for good. How trials and sufferings and sickness and loss work together for good. But hereafter we shall see, and we shall say, my Jesus hath done all things well. Let us fear God, and we shall then have nothing else to fear. He says, fear not, for I am thy God. But oh, if he is not thy God, what a state thou art in. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It is a fearful thing for those who are in their sin, depending upon themselves for everything, to fall into the hands of the living God. You are in his hands. He holds you, but he holds you above a vast and bottomless abyss of suffering and woe. And you are his enemies. And any moment he could turn his hand and drop you into that pit of everlasting punishment, into that lake of fire that burneth forever. And then, oh, then you have everything to fear. You may think that you have nothing to fear in this world, but God says you are to fear him. It is a fearful thing to come before him dressed in your own righteousness. But here is Christ, a saviour for sinners, the one who saves us, delivers us from the wrath to come. You must come to him. You must come to him, or the wrath is still to come for you. And all the wrath is coming, and who shall abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand in the great day of his wrath? No, there is refuge only in Christ. Only in Christ can we say, fear not. Oh, that we all today then might hear these words. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Oh, that we might hear those words spoken in that great day when he shall come and this world shall be burned up. We may hear him say, fear not, for thou art mine, and I am thy God. Amen.